Okay. Sorry we're a few minutes late. Pure chaos and pandemonium. But I'm willing to blame it all on our good friend, Brad Law, who's not here. He's not here. He took the whole pushback of the us both using his office yesterday to record. I think he took that the wrong way. There's going to be talk about him being with baseball today. There's going to be talk about his yearning to travel to Tuscaloosa. There's also, he's got a lot of nerves because his team takes on Alabama, not only in baseball, but in basketball tonight. And that's just something that Brad Law is going to have to power through. We do have a few messages and videos from him. I have not seen them. I have not watched them. I do not know what they say. But we get to experience that together. This is a special live dive Octopod edition of Village Vice. I'm Zach Blackerby. Normally Brad Law is with me. I don't have a whole lot of stuff prepped, so guys, please ask questions in the live chat as we can just vibe for the next few minutes or so. See, he's already spreading fake propaganda. This isn't funny, Zach. Let me into my office. For those watching live, does it look like his office is behind me? This is the type of messaging that you have to be careful on. Like, do you want to trust this person or not? I'm clearly not in your office, Brad Law. I'm clearly not in your office. That's okay. That's okay. Look, what a great week it's been. All jokes aside, it's been a great week as far as spring really picking up, all the positive reports coming out of spring, and Auburn keeping their postseason life alive in the NIT earlier this week. And we get Auburn baseball tonight against an Alabama baseball team that had a pretty good outing a weekend ago. So that's all super, super exciting. Let's hear AI. Bradford is saying that I'm using AI or something. If you have your phone on you, why can't you do this with me? I don't understand it. Here's Brad, something that he sent this morning. I don't know what he says here, but let's take a listen.
Hey, guys. Got a random animal fact for you today.
Already.
Did you know that the tongue of a blue whale weighs more than a female elephant? Equal to about 6 grand pianos. The tongue of a blue whale weighs more than a female elephant. Now you know.
I think we're all better off for knowing that. Wouldn't you agree? That kind of reminds me of the, like, have you all seen the meme or the videos of like making fun of toilet paper sizes, where it's like one jumbo roll equals 2 regular rolls, and then like the ginormous roll equals like 6 regular rolls or whatever. It's like, okay, one, was it white whale tongue equals an elephant, which equals 6 grand pianos. There we go. PB Hoff, I only come here for the animal facts. He's about to sign off. He's like, that's all I got. Robert Steiner, Brad with the goatee looks like he should stay 500 feet from a school. I disagree. I think he should be the school. Brad's asking for the link. Could have done this before we went live, but that is okay. That is fine. Brad, I am sending it to you on X. If you guys are watching this after the fact, I am so sorry. I am so, so sorry. Brad, it is in your DMs on X. I just sent it, Brad Law. Let's listen to the other message from Brad Law. Once again, I don't know what this is.
Hey, I have another idea for a restaurant. I have another restaurant idea. You know how we all love Christmas dinner? Like, we love all of the decorations and the music and the feeling that we have at Christmas meals or holiday meals with our family. What if you had a restaurant? Because we do this with decorations. Like there are Christmas tree stores, and there are some places around the Southeast that are like Christmas decorations all year long. What if you had a restaurant that was Christmas dinner anytime you wanted it? And you go in and it's green and red decor, and they've got the Christmas china, all the trimmings that you would normally have at Christmas dinner, but you could go in March if you wanted to and have Christmas dinner with the family. It'd be huge in July. You know, you have your.
All right, we're not doing that. Brad Law, okay. How are you?
I'm great. I'm glad to be with you. Why did you lock me out of my office?
I did no such thing.
I don't understand why I can't. Did you not want me to be on the show? Did you not think that I could be a part of the show this way today?
I didn't know this was an option. When we were discussing plans, I didn't know this was an option.
It's not really, because we're loading the car. We're headed to Tuscaloosa just a little bit.
Who was in the car with you?
It's going to be the voice, need I say more, Andy Burcham.
Andy Burcham.
Jeff Shearer, who has the greatest hair in the history of hair.
True legend.
And then George Nunnally, baseball sports information director extraordinaire.
The GOAT, yes.
There is nobody else in the league or the
that
country.
Is a car, man.
Yeah.
What a squad. Yeah.
I know.
Should who we runs go more, through? You or Jeff?
Who does? Jeff. Jeff does.
I mean, he runs like miles on miles, right?
Jeff was finished with the half marathon before I was even like close to.
All running the same half marathon?
We ran in the same half marathon, but he ran it like an hour faster than I did.
Did he meet Matt? Was he disgusted by Matt?
No, he didn't meet Matt. He didn't. He was finished so far ahead of everybody, he'd like gone back, showered, and taken a nap before anybody else got close.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah. Guy's in great shape. All right.
You don't like my Christmas dinner restaurant idea?
No. The one I sent you was better.
Okay. The Blind Date Bistro? Yeah, the Blind Date Bistro.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's better. The whole point of a blind date is there's so much anxiety that I at least want to know about my food.
Nine times says Jeff didn't need Matt's help.
No, he didn't. You're right about that.
All right. Are you the driver? Are you driving?
Yeah, I'm driving. I'm driving.
All right. Hey, let's lock in, my guy.
We've never done the Village Vice live slice octopod dive with a car full of people.
Yeah.
Do you need me to drive?
No, we don't need you to drive. I'll drive.
Andy.
How about?
All right. See you, buddy.
Bye.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. All right. Questions. Alex asks, Zach, which wide receiver are you excited for? I'm excited for several. I'm excited for several, and I think for different reasons, which is exciting. Brad's still back. Okay, he just signed off. Yeah, there are a few. So, I mean, obviously, you know, the bulk of the offseason so far, we've been excited about Keyshawn Singleton and Jeremiah Koger, but I do think there's a more, after we have a little bit more of a general understanding of what happened at South Florida and what the team thinks of these guys, I think Chaz Nimrod has to shoot to the top. I mean, you talk about elite speed, you talk about really solid size to match with it, and then just a general understanding of what he wants to do in this scheme. I think Chaz Nimrod has to shoot to the top of it. We got to speak to Bryce Kane for a little bit yesterday. We've heard so many good things about him throughout these first 2 weeks of spring. Bryce Kane, fastest guy on the team, can be electric from the slot. So obviously he's worth being excited about. I will give you a deeper cut here with Brian Williams Jr., true freshman, massive. The first viewing window we had, I spent a lot of times watching the receivers and the quarterbacks. And I kept saying to myself, like, man, 15 looks good, like physically, like he is massive. And then you hear more and more about him, and it's like, oh, he's so smooth. Oh, they've put him in several of the videos that War Eagle Plus has put out there as far as promoting this team. And it sounds like he's had a good start to spring. So excited about several wide receivers. And of course, still pumped to see Koger in this system. Excited for Duke Smith's upside. Deshaun Spencer long-term, I'm super, super excited for. But Those are certainly the guys for that. Georgia Tiger says, are there any Italian restaurants in Auburn? We have an Olive Garden. Does it get more Italian than Olive Garden? Daniel asks, how has Riddick looked in practices so far? Riddick has an orange non-contact jersey, still recovering from an injury that he suffered last season. And so I don't think we really know. But this is a guy who's, you know, been here, that's going on his third season. Like, he knows the system. He knows what DJ wants to do with him. I thought at some point they might try to beef him up a little bit and put him at edge, but it does seem like he's still at true linebacker. So take that for what it's worth. But he's in a non-contact, so I don't know if we'll like really have a real answer to that. Harper, can you change the Village Vice intro so it doesn't sound like your morning alarm? Harper, maybe just change your alarm. I think that's probably easier to do. Alex says that you're excited for Jeremiah Coger. Yeah, he's worth being excited about for sure. Zach, do you think our third down failures are over? Seems like defense just left the field on third down the past two seasons. You know, I've brought this up a few times and like it's kind of met with negative feedback, but I think a lot of that has to do with edge rushing and just the pass rush in general. And I know there's a lot of talk of, you know, well, we trust DJ Durkin, and I trust DJ Durkin. I'm not shying away from that at all or pushing back on it. But I do think at times like Auburn's pass rush should have been better than it was a year ago with Keldrick and Amaris and Kieron and Malik Blockton. Was that it? Was reloading the pass rush from a personnel standpoint, is that what was needed? Is it scheme? Will they blitz more guys? I'm not sure, but I do think a lot of this had to do with not getting to the quarterback as often as we would like on third down. I also think, and this is probably not going to change, nor should it, because I think it clearly works, but DJ Durkin defenses, they put a lot on corners. They put a lot of pressure and burden on the back end corners. And so like you're going to lose some of those. That's just kind of how football works. But are they over? I don't think there's anything that we can see in spring that would say that that's going to get better or worse. That's a good question though. It's an important question. Walt says Italian restaurant in Opelika is called Piedmont. Never heard of that. Daniel says Chaz Nimrod has his attention. I think he should. I think he absolutely should. Drake barefoot. Imagine Drake wearing shoes. I personally cannot. How quick is the ball getting out of Byram's hands? Once again, like we're only seeing them throw in drills. We're not seeing them throw in, you know, 11 on 11. That's just not what we've been given access to, nor do we deserve it. I totally understand why you would not want us to see that. Not pushing back on that at all, that decision by this coaching staff. But there's no way to know. I mean, we can look and see what he's done at South Florida. And it's like the ball got out of his hands fine. Made decisions promptly. Understands the system. Understands the offense. And that's a lot of what Golish's system is, right? You spread these receivers out. And so when these defensive backs make decisions on who they're covering, like you have to kind of cheat a little bit and show this is what I'm supposed to do on this play. That decision is kind of being made for you as a quarterback. And so you have to react based off of what's happening there. So in theory, it allows you to have to think less and process things quicker. That's at least the theory behind it. Robert, as a DB guy, do you think we will be better in coverage this year than last year? I do. But once again, there's a lot of pressure that are going to be put on these outside corners. I don't think our outside corners are going to be as good this year as they were a year ago. That's not me saying that I don't think our corners can be good. I think Jay Crawford and Kayan Lee probably didn't get enough love as they should have, especially Kayan. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. The safeties, I think, are going to cover up for a lot of things. No, Gavin Jenkins, they like him. That's one of the South Florida guys they brought with him. He was at corner with the first group yesterday at practice. So take that for what it's worth. Andre Jordan Jr., the transfer from UCLA, was on the other side of it. So I don't know. Like, which corner group would you rather have? Gavin Jenkins and Andre Jordan Jr. or Jay Crawford and Kane Lee? I don't know. But I tell you what, I'd rather have our safety group over anybody's in the country. I'll tell you that right now. Reconciled asked, how healthy is Alex McPherson looking? They gave us Alex the very first day of spring, and he said that he was feeling good and all that. I don't think they would have given him to the media if that wasn't trending in a positive direction. So I think that's exciting. Silent says, give us your favorite restaurants in Auburn. My wife and I love the Draft House in downtown Auburn. That is probably my favorite. I don't want to like just list places where like, I don't know. That's our favorite. And then, the place we go to the most is probably Takoyaki, which is in Tigertown. The Rev coming in. Thank you for the $20 super chat. Thank you, Rev, for supporting the show. The tight end room, I believe, is a dark horse to be critical to the offense production this year. Jake Johnson has my attention. War, damn, Eagle, Auburn family. So I want to make sure we're all saying the same thing, because I agree that it could be a dark horse. I don't know if it's going to be critical to offensive production unless you want to say indirectly. So Jake Johnson, spent a lot of time talking to him last week whenever they made him available to us. And I thought he looked the part. I was high on him before he spoke to the media. Seems like a really solid all-around football player. And Alex Golish talked pretty highly of him, kind of made the joke on, like, you know, the bald spot and, you know, he's showing his age and how he's wise and a veteran and all that. I think that's great. But I think you can be high on the tight end room, but not expect a lot of yards through the air. I mean, Arliss Boardingham talked to us yesterday and a similar thing, like, yes, versatility is needed, but they don't really throw to the tight ends that much. Now things could change. Is that something that they add now that they're part of the SEC? And now that they've got guys like Jake Johnson, Arliss Boardingham, Jonathan Echols, I think Ryan G can be really, really good in this system. But historically, these goalish systems, they're not throwing it to the tight ends a bunch. But can they make an impact on the production? Yeah, they absolutely can, because that's what's going to allow you to go fast. You know, can a guy like Jake Johnson or Arliss or Echols, can they line up at slot? You get a first down, you want to hurry and create tempo so the defense can't sub and you need to attach them to the line for the next play. And it ends up being a 6-yard run by Jeremiah Cobb. And then you hurry to the line and you move them to H-back. And it's play action and RPO, and then it's a quick pass outside to Jeremiah Koger. And then they get a first down after a 12-yard gain. And then the next position, the next formation, you know, the tight end's back at the slot. That's what you want. And I think they have several guys that can absolutely do that. Brant, can you comment on the cards behind you? Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of the mix of Patriots cards, Auburn cards, Pokemon cards. We got it all. We got it all, baby. Zach, who are you excited for on defense? I think there's a few guys. A guy that's probably sliding under the radar a little bit is Darian Smith, true sophomore from a year ago. There were kind of questions on where they were going to use him because he's a little small for three tech. And so there's some speculation of, can he play strong side end? With the first team defense yesterday, we saw him at that defensive tackle spot, which a lot of people, you know, I think Cody Sigler will eventually start there. I think the starting two interior guys are Dallas Walker and Cody Sigler. But I think Darian Smith has a chance. I think he has a clear path to playing time. I think Malik Autry has a path to playing time. I think Jordan Crawford is the backup to Dallas Walker. Edge, I tell you what, spending time watching the Edge group yesterday, J.J. Falk's size is electric, and it's enticing. So I think J.J. Falk is certainly on that list as defensive guys I'm excited about. Elijah Melendez, the way this staff talks about Elijah Melendez is special. Very high belief in Elijah Melendez. And then, I mean, there's so many defensive backs. I mean, you can pretty much list the whole room as far as guys that I'm excited about there. So, but those are a few. Those are a few. Good question, Alex. Jacob wants to get a Jake Johnson jersey. That's intense. I love that. I absolutely love that. Daniel says, I think Auburn beats either UGA in Athens or Bama in Tuscaloosa this season. That bye week coming before the Georgia game is a huge benefit, in my opinion. Yeah, 100%. Who does Georgia, what does Georgia have the week before us? Let's look. Georgia Bulldogs schedule. Oh, Georgia's at Alabama the week before us. While we're on a bye week. Yeah, that's a big deal. That's certainly a big deal. Trey with the huge question. Isn't J.J. Falk Heldrick Falk's little brother? Yes. Yes, Trey, that is true. That is true. Good point. Good point there. So, yeah, I actually didn't realize that about Georgia. So that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting. I mean, it's tough, but man, what a great way for Golish to show the world, like, yeah, I am that guy. I am that guy. Show like this team to say, yes, we're back by a win in Georgia. That'd be electric. That would be absolutely electric. All right, let's do a few more. Do a few more questions if you guys have a few more, then we'll wrap this one up. Sorry, it's not the same with no Brad Law. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Auburn baseball tonight against Alabama. Obviously that's going to be a big one. Curious to see the pitching rotation after Marciano is done tonight. Trey saying I'm waiting for Alvin Henderson to get some field time. I'm not really expecting that to happen at least this year. I mean, there seems to be several guys ahead of him. Jeremiah Cobb, Bryson Washington, Nekai Davenport, Omar Mabson. I think this staff likes Tay Meadows. I mean, there's probably five guys. One, two, three, four. Yeah, there's probably five guys ahead of Alvin. So I don't know if that's really going to happen a whole lot this year. Daniel saying, imagine Auburn is 5-0 going into Athens. It comes out with a win. I mean, you got to talk about one of the best teams in college football if that were to happen. Major if, but then again, like, so of the five, like 5-0, I think Auburn beats Baylor. I think they beat Southern Miss. Right now, I'm saying they beat Florida. I think they beat Vandy. And then it's like, can you win in Tennessee? They don't know. They've got quarterback questions with the Joey Aguilar stuff going on. Like, it's an uphill climb, but it's not impossible. It's not impossible. Do you think we beat Ole Miss? Right now, I would pick Ole Miss to win that game. Right now. What is the hat all about? Ronnie, it's Roback. Roback's the sponsor of the show. All right, cool. Sorry, guys. Not quite the same without Brad. Brad should be back in town next week, so. Please like the video. Please subscribe. We'll see you guys next time. This has been Locked. Nope, not Locked on Auburn. So sorry. Muscle memory. Brad always does his part. Everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.